Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com. The Tora Radio Show, your home for sim racing news.
Hello everybody and welcome to another edition of the Tora Radio Show. I'm Matt Hunter and I'm joined, well actually, by recent absentee and frequent race track miles card updater, Mr. Lewis Satley. Hello.
Hello, I'm up to 6 and I'm coming up on 7 in May.
frequently touring all the up-and-coming circuits of the Floridian landscape. We also have with us, Ben's not with us at the moment, as he is currently en route to the wonderful northwest of America, to Seattle, to cover, or to be involved in and cover, the Forza Racing Champion Invitational for us. More on that a little later on.
By the way, I have a bone to pick with you on that one.
Having heard, dear listener, his interview on Midweek Motorsport last week on RadioLeMans.com, I have an idea what's coming up. Please, Lewis, go ahead.
No. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I want you to sweat this one out.
Right. I don't care, don't you?
Well, NDA, that ruins it all.
NDAs are a wonderful thing. Anyway, yes, your point being?
My point being, why did you beat it over my head?
Yes.
That you could not tell me what was going on in Seattle. Whenever you and Ben already knew. And then you throw me to the wolves of Hindoff. And he literally asked me what's going on in Seattle, and I'm like, I have no idea. I was told you were going to tell me.
All I'm going to say is I thought you handled yourself admirably. So, very well done. And
well, it's a good thing, actually, I didn't know about it, actually, because then he was able to actually go ahead and read off the whole thing, which
exactly.
Then he started to sweat because he was wondering if he'd burst the bubble and started breaking the news when it wasn't official yet, which we found out, thankfully, it was official and he was allowed to talk about it. Yeah. So we both almost got in trouble. That was wonderful.
Well, I thought you did admirably. And also, big thank you to Eve and John for putting up with Lewis in the commentary booth. I can only imagine what that experience must have been like, because you've also now done something that I haven't. You've been in the commentary booth with Mr. John Hindoff. So you're one up on me, sir.
Yes. That was quite an honor, and a big thank you to John and you for that as well. That is pretty much the dream job that I got a quick glimpse at, and I was just I didn't want to leave the booth.
I've been in the back of the their well, it's not even just the booth. There's like a whole unit at Le Mans, which is very cool. Literally, it was the coolest place on the whole circuit that day.
Yeah, they had like an icebox in there.
It was horrendous at Le Mans. Absolutely, I'm not a small chap, as we all know. We do not fare well, and chaps of a certain size do not fare well in hot temperatures. Let it be known. As we currently sit in slightly milder today, but we have had two weeks worth of snow on and off. So, yes.
Well, it's not Florida, and I'm just enjoying this AC. Anyways, carry on.
Actually, we'll come back to Sebring in a bit, because I need to ask you a few questions about it. And for our dear listeners who would have followed, who might not necessarily have caught all the race, a bit like me, because I was in Cardiff with the oval ball sport. Let's talk about, and this is something that actually both of you will obviously have a good grasp on, as we talk about some racing news. No real DLC updates from Turn 10 at the moment, as the date sort of shifted back again to how it's meant to be, so we're kind of in betwixt DLC content at the moment. But 9 new Porsches coming from Project Cars 2 in the recently released Porsche pack. It's been out for a week or so now. Gentlemen, I'll hand over to you for this one, as I know this is something that you two have been extremely keen on getting your hands on recently. Let's talk about the Porsche pack. Firstly, we'll go to Mr. Adam Watson, the Project Cars 2 Pro here at Tora. So, Adam, let's talk about these Porsches.
Yeah, Porsche brought in they called it the Legends pack, which means all the cars, I think, from 1990 onwards, and then two slightly modern cars, which is the 2004 Carrera GT, mm-hmm. the 2017 911 RSR, which is just wonderful. I love that thing now. I'm not a Porsche fan, but that thing is beautiful. Then there's the 917K, which I think was in the Le Mans movie, if I'm not too sure.
Yes, it was.
And there is many other great Porsches which have come in that pack.
Yes, the 908-3 being one of my personal favorites. It's not like... I don't know about you, Adam. I didn't find the 908-3 to be quite as twitchy on the throttle as the 917K. I don't know about you. It seems a little bit more stable because of the shorter wheelbase, I would have to say.
Yeah, I didn't find the 917, I thought, was the easiest to drive, especially around tracks like Silverstone and everything. Just the 938, did you say?
908-3. Yeah, one that they ran at the Targa Florio that year instead of the 917, and I think they wanted it because it was a shorter wheelbase and they're able to whip through the corners a little bit better.
It handles great, but it's not very quick in a straight line.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And probably my second favorite car out of that whole group is the old RSR. The 1973, I think is what the year model is on it. With the ducktail Porsche. That one, I mean, to me, I don't know what it is, but this is why I love historic racing. And they didn't replicate it very well, which I was kind of disappointed. But it's the downshift of a old 1973 Porsche RSR flat six. That, to me, is the endurance racing noise universally. And I was really disappointed they didn't replicate it very well. So, is what it is, I guess.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is the sound of an enthusiast talking.
Yeah.
I use the word enthusiast and not anorak. Note carefully. For fear of upsetting him. Do not use flash photography around the enthusiasts. They startle.
we do too. That's the thing.
I have to say I have tried a handful of the cars from this pack. The 917. I enjoyed it because it's got all the whole Le Mans film thing going on and it is an iconic, it's a beautiful iconic car, and I really did enjoy driving it. I actually quite enjoy the 917-10, the Can-Am car. That's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But my favourite's Moby Dick, just because it's Moby Dick. The downshifts are the most lethargic things in the world. The brakes are terrifying until you get used to them. But it's such a cool car, and for me that was Porsche for me for quite a while, when I first started getting into Porsche from a historics point of view, and of course we can't not mention the RSR, which has, as we were discussing off air actually, Adam, has otherworldly braking abilities and grip even on cold tires.
Yeah, the grip is, I don't know if it's real life because how it is there, but the grip it is on cold tires, cold soft tires, is unbelievable. Like, as I was saying off air, I was in a racing a 488 and he couldn't get the power down, he couldn't do anything, he couldn't brake as late as me as I could in the 911 RSR. Mm. And by the end of the lap, after coming out the pits with him, I already pulled 2 seconds on him because of the grip it has, the confidence, even on cold tires.
Nothing like having confidence on cold tires. I love it.
No, Now, of course, Lewis, you've just seen that very car win at Sebring.
Mm-hmm.
How does it compare? How do you think it compares to the real life variant? Is there very many obvious differences? I mean, again, off air, we were discussing the again, dear listener, enthusiasts at work here. We were discussing the difference in exhaust arrangement and sound pre and post Le Mans. You've now experienced this car for yourself. What was it like trackside at Sebring with the Screamer engine going by?
I will say it's far louder at Daytona than it is at Sebring. I mean, granted, I'm much closer at Sebring, but you do hear it for, I would say, longer at Sebring, specifically because of where I'm camped at. You can hear it over going out of turn 5, going through Big Bend towards the hairpin at turn 7, and then you hear it again as it's coming up to turn 10 and the brake zone comes screaming by us, and then you hear it all the way through 12 and 13 and then accelerate all the way towards the kink. So you do hear it for longer on the lap, maybe time-wise, but I mean, but when we come to sound, obviously we're talking about here, it's definitely the pre-Le Mans exhaust that they've had on the car itself. Mm. And actually, in game, I'm finding it rather quiet, to be honest. I mean, it's like ridiculously quiet. I mean, I'm talking almost BMW M8 at Daytona quiet, where you don't hear it at all. So, I mean, you almost hear the tire, or actually, you will hear the tire noise more than you do the actual car itself. At least to me, it was. Maybe they've patched it since I've been gone. I don't know. I have not driven it yet in the week and a half that I've been here. So, but yeah, as from a sound standpoint, it's completely different than what it was. And I wouldn't even say it was pre-Le Mans exhaust, actually. It sounds more like straight off the streetcar to me.
Hmm. Adam,
just don't drive behind. Yeah, and see what Louis is saying? Don't drive behind V8 cars and Project Cars 2, like the Aston and the Corvette, because you will miss the gears for about 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm. True story.
Just bounce off the rev limiter.
That saying, I did know, and again, I don't know if it's one that they've patched since. The V8s, particularly with the Vantage and the Corvette, they were mean in Project Cars 1. I mean, they were some of the best sounding. They were the reasons I bought Project Cars 1. And then I drove them in Project Cars 2, and they sounded... The balance between engine noise and transmission whine seemed to be out, and it didn't sound quite as good. So I'm not sure. Hopefully they've addressed that.
It's like they've dumbed it down.
It's like they've switched, because you know how, like, for instance, how the Bentley the Continental in Forza 6 sounded too soft, and now in Forza 7 it sounds a lot more meaty. It's got, you know, you've got that proper V8 rumble going on.
Oh, by the way, that's another car I got to hear for the first time as well. Not to mention it.
Because the
St. Pete.
Yes.
Yes. I have a new favorite sounding race car.
So now you know what we've been enjoying for the last few years.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I mean, and you English will absolutely love it. It the sound is the sex. it's just oh my gosh.
I have to disagree. Sorry, but I have to disagree. Get out.
I know you're an
right,
Aston fan.
We've got a trebuchet we can hook you up to, and we can flick you right to it.
You cannot beat the BMW Z4 soundtrack.
Yes, you can with a Bentley.
I see. I see what Adam... Do you know what? The Z4's a funny one because... There was something very cool about it, particularly on gear changes. I will happily agree. Particularly on downshifts, it had a sort of... You know when you cut open an aluminium can and that sort of crunching metallic loudness that it makes... It kind of sounds like that, but in a not being broken kind of way. I'm making no sense, but I do get what you mean, Adam. However, you are still wrong. The Bentley is a significantly better car
So, as you can tell, viewers, I'm not a fan of Bentley.
Ah, that explains it. Okay, so we
know some people.
Trebuchet's been swapped out for a catapult. We'll go ahead and just fling him right through the roof while we're at it. But funny enough, talking about Z4s, at Sebring they actually had the old GTLM Z4s, which, dear listener, a lot of you may know that the GTLM Z4 was based off of the GT3 Z4, just a modified version of it, really, same motor. Mm-hmm. So they had those actually going around, and they were giving laps to BMW customers or VIPs or what have you, but they put a second seat in both of them, and they're doing laps, and oh my god, it was great to hear those cars again. But, I mean, having recently, within a week, hearing both cars, I got to say the Bentley's, just the throatiness of it, not so much the roar of it, is what I really like.
So basically you fully understand hashtag bring the thunder now.
Bring the thunder. Although I will say, when it comes to thump, it still can't hold a candle to a Corvette. But I mean,
it's a very different engine block, though. In fairness,
it's a very different engine, but if you look at the size of the Bentley and you hear the motor, it's like, yeah, that's the proper motor to have in it. You hear the Corvette, everything, it's rather small, and then you get this really, really loud, aggressive noise out of it. And it's just like, I almost expect you to be a buzzy V8, kind of like a Gibson.
But also, now, I'm people at Bentley Motorsport.
I've got a bunch of
shout at me now.
Of fellow countrymen that are yelling at me right now, for
including
nothing.
including their PR officer who went over. They're going to be shouting at me right now. The Bentley is turboed, if I recall. And
yes.
The Corvette is not.
Right.
Bentley's twin turboed.
Yeah. So there's your engine. There's your sound difference right there, because I wholeheartedly, in terms of, if we'll just pause this just for 1 second, listener, send us your thoughts. What is the current best V8 racing car sound that is racing now? So we're not talking history, we're not talking things coming in the future. What is the best V8 racing car now? Answers to the real underscore Tora hashtag TRS.
And if I find anybody who says McLaren, I'm going to go ahead and just find them on the virtual racetrack and run them.
This is the thing, right?
That car's quiet.
Until I watched Top Gear, I completely forgot that the 570S has a V8 in it.
It doesn't even sound like a V8. That's the
thing. That's the problem.
No. And here's the other thing. The Ferrari as well is a twin-turbo V8.
Yeah, but the Ferrari's... Ferraris have to sound the way they sound, because otherwise they wouldn't be Ferraris. You can't have a Ferrari that sounds like a Corvette. Or a Ferrari has to be... A Ferrari has to be... I'm trying to think what the singing equivalent would be.
I'm not going to say opera.
You're not right. It has to kind of be the sort of... the female singer that can hit those high notes, that can really, you know, that can just produce all those beautiful high notes. The Corvette and the Aston, they're very much your bass tenors, you know, that sort of thing. And it's all about, it's more earthy, mechanical noise.
So what you're saying is that the Ferrari is the opera singer that can reach the high notes, but at the same time, she's so obnoxious that you're going to go ahead and just muffle her by putting a pillow over her face.
No, I was just going to say she's going to hit those high notes and break your glasses like they do in cartoons.
Well, too bad that it's turbocharged, so it's just like if I were to talk like this, you can hardly understand me because you couldn't even hear the
singing through it. So she's singing through a sock. Who's us to judge?
Anyway. Well, that's the whole point of this segment right now.
I'm not going to ask why she's singing through a sock. I'm merely making the observation. There we go. And on that, we'll quickly move on, I think.
Right, so I think we...
We'll just go back, just to quickly clarify, because this was originally about the Porsche Legends pack on Project Cars 2, would you believe? Nine new cars, then. Two from 1971, the Porsche 90803 Spyder, and the 917K. I'll never say 917, because that's blasphemy. The 1972 917-10... The 1973 911 Carrera RSR, 1978, the 93578. Then we go to 81, the Porsche 93578-81, the 1987 Porsche 959S, and the 2004 Carrera GT, and then we jump to the 2017 Porsche 911 RSR. So, good run of car of Porsche metal there. And actually, a good match for anything that got put out in Assetto Corsa. So well done, guys. And of course, that does add to the pre-existing Porsches that were already in Project Cars 2 as well. So actually, that does bolster the Porsche content quite significantly. There is also a track, one I have not been on yet, the Porsche on-road circuit at Leipzig. Looks pretty cool, actually, on the images that I've seen of it, with a huge inverted cone-shaped, I'm guessing, observation space. Didn't realise it was FIA certified when they put a mysterious tweet out stating what the circuit was going to be.
I thought it would be Paul Ricard.
I was hoping for Paul Ricard.
I was hoping for something completely different than what we got. Not Ricard, but something completely different. I don't know what.
Well, because they said it was one that hadn't been in a game before.
Yeah, which completely threw me off, because at first I was sitting there, like, a bunch of people were throwing out different ideas. Like, somebody threw out Kyalami, and then all of a sudden
Kyalami was in Tokyo World Touring Cars.
Well, it was Tokyo World Touring Cars, but actually what I went back to was the old EA Sports World Superbike 2000 game.
Yes, I was just about to say it's been in Superbike games. Mm.
Yeah, so I was thinking that, and then I was thinking Phillip Island, which again, EA Sports World Superbike games. And it was also in Toka Race Driver 3 as well, with the Aussie V8s. So, and then I had another track, which I can't think of off the top of my head at the moment, but
basically,
I didn't think
didn't say Leipzig.
Exactly.
Mm. That's a very long way around of saying I didn't think it was Leipzig.
Well, but, I mean, I was just explaining my thought process.
Well, thank you for that brain fart. That was excellent.
Well, it's better than yours. Well, it doesn't make any sense.
Do you know, the only thing that disappoints me about it, you know, like when we get, for instance, the Abu Dhabi circuit in Forza Motorsport 7.
Uh-huh.
And you've got the two layouts that you kind of know because they've been used for, well, what was World GT and obviously Formula 1. But then you've got all the shorter circuits that get used for the little track days and all that sort of thing, which is really, really cool. Now, Leipzig has probably a billion different track layouts.
Uh-huh.
You know, having seen aerial footage of what the circuit actually looks like. Yet we've got one.
One.
One. Maybe I'm being greedy, maybe. My expectations are too high. But one.
All I'm going to say is, slightly my studios, don't put Abu Dhabi in the game.
No, please don't.
No.
Bahrain? I love Bahrain. Bahrain would be good, because then you'd have one more. They'd only be missing two WEC circuits then. But that's just my hopes. But all in all, a very good pack, I think it's safe to say, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Now, we didn't actually have a DLC pack for Forza, just thinking about it. But when we'd had, obviously, the huge happiness and hullabaloo and fireworks once we'd received the marvellous Aston Martin GT3 Vantage but a month and a half ago, we then reverted to type, shall we say, with the Forza Motorsport 7 March update that occurred... 2 weeks ago now, I think it was.
Oh, yes. Was this the one that had the Group 44 Jag in it?
Mm. Yes, it was.
Ah, okay. So, I honestly have not actually touched that DLC whatsoever, if I'm honest. It's been the last time I fired up Forza.
So the... it came as... Obviously that was there. There was also the some more eSports content update, including more Spectate additions to the ticker, which give data types such as time behind the behind leader, time intervals, distance gap from race lead, distance gap from the car ahead, lap times, and race order changes. These are all fantastic, except for they don't work if you have multiple lobbies with buckets at the moment, which is a bit of a disappointment for our broadcasting partners, but I'm sure we'll see that develop over time. The Spectate also brought in telemetry elements to it as well, which is really cool. So that's brilliant. So you get various screens. Spectators can go through various screens for each car, including the car specs, dashboard readouts, telemetry, the usual telemetry, RPM, clutch, power, throttle, torque, that sort of thing. Damage, suspension information, tyre heat and friction, stuff like that. And there's also a raft of updates to the livery editors, some of which we've been waiting for probably since about Forza 2, including the simple option to flip things on a side, so you don't. So when you flip them over and they're backwards on the opposite side, you just flip horizontal and then the right way round. Which has been fantastic to have. So thank you very much to Turn 10 for updating the livery editor, which has probably been the same since the very first Forza for the majority, apart from the environment in which you paint. If we could have it a little lighter, that would be marvellous, because I feel like I'm painting in the ever-present storm at the moment.
Yeah, it's either that or, I don't know if you've picked up on this, but if you look on the right side of the car, it's darker than on the left side of the car. So it's annoying. Literally, you feel like you're in Star Wars. It's like light side, dark side.
I paint everything on the left, try to make sure the colors match as best I can, and then just copy it to the right.
Pretty much, yeah. That's it.
Anyway, we'll quickly look at the cars that came out, because there are some interesting ones. As I say, we reverted to type a little bit. However, we have the 1932 Alfa Romeo 8C, the 2300 Spider, which is a very, very old car, but quite cool to look at. This is where you're going to miss Ben, ladies and gentlemen, because he'd have tested all of these thoroughly and would be able to tell you exactly how they all drive. Unfortunately, the majority of us have been working on BOP for British GT for the last week or so, so we're a bit GT4 and GT3 oriented at the moment. The 1983 Jaguar 44, Group 44 XJR5. I think that was a car that's been requested for Forza for quite some time. I can't remember if it was DLC in a previous game.
It was not. That's the first time this car has been featured in a Forza game.
Excellent. I'm actually quite looking forward to driving that, I have to say.
Well, dear listener, I don't know if they heard, but that was not my Xbox, wink, wink, that you heard in the background firing up, and that was not my gamertag logging in, wink, wink, background.
He's going to go and drive it as soon as we're off air.
No, I'm going to go drive it while we're on air, and you're talking to Adam for 5 seconds.
We also have the 1988 Nissan 33 Bobshot Racing 300ZX. So that's another Trans Am-y.
That is a Trans Am car.
I'm trying to think what we have that goes with the Mazda. There's a Mazda in there already, isn't there?
Yeah, that's a GTO car. I think they did race a version of that in Trans Am, and actually fairly recently as well. But not that one in particular. That was definitely one that they raced in IMSA GTO. The Nissan 300ZX, they did race in Trans Am briefly. Again, briefly. And that's all I could think of. And obviously the Audi, but...
Then the highlight car for me in the pack so far, the 77 Brabham BT45B. Resplendent.
Is this the one with the turbine on the back or no?
No.
Resplendent
in not its Martini livery for perhaps obvious reasons. Because I did have to Google this car. I looked at the pictures in game and then I thought, I don't recognise that. And then I Googled it and saw that it's meant to have Martini stripes across it. And I thought, oh, now I know what it is.
Yeah.
I've got a feeling I've actually seen this this car at the Silverstone Classic as well, which is quite cool. And then we go into the things that we're not... overly bothered about again. So the 2017 Lincoln Continental.
I think it was still going.
No.
Yeah, it's a
well,
Lincoln
yeah, they are, but they probably shouldn't be.
I'm showing my enthusiasm.
Yes. Congratulations, yeah. Hitmen have a new car they can borrow from people.
Yeah.
The 2017 Chevrolet Colorado ZR2 for people who can't afford a Ford.
Yay. Sorry, that's not fair that we're talking like this.
It isn't, because I still cannot comprehend what we're going to use these for in a Forza Motorsport game.
I guess you want to have the Homatro safety team go ahead and drive around the whole
circuit.
It even says
in the last sentence of the description for this car, this is a real off-road truck capable of pre-running that gives newfound meaning to the prolific ZR moniker. This is a real off-road truck. Uh-huh.
That, dear listener, is the prime sound of me and Adam just letting the crickets just chirp away. Not even going to stop them.
I'm going to move on before I descend into my white rage.
Yeah, don't have an aneurysm, by the way, man.
And then we go to the cars that for the over 80s and people with too much money and not enough, and very thick glasses. The 2017 Volvo XC90 R design. These are for people who have children or more latterly grandchildren that have to sit so far in the back with a DVD player on the back of the seat in front of them that drivers never have to speak to their children for the 200 mile round trip that they drive with their lights on or off depending on whether the weather is bad or good. Obviously pick the opposite one for that. Where they don't stop at traffic lights, where they hog the middle lane, and where they accidentally put it into reverse and drive through a shop window. All these things I've seen happen in real life.
Volvos, I don't think are that bad anymore.
You've been to America recently, then, Matt?
Why? Oh, no, this has just happened in the land of the living dead, known as Budley Salterton.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say Devon.
Shut up. It's not the whole of Devon. No, it's a very specific focal part of Devon. It's called... How rude. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. And I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. Anyway. The thing is, Volvo actually... The thing that annoys me is that when you think Volvo and they've got Polestar and they've produced some brilliantly eccentric salute, you know, hot hatches and things like that. Things for the, you know, WTCC and whatnot. The 850 Estate, you know, going back a bit further. The S40R. You know, these are cars that actually, even when I was younger and really should probably have been thinking about cars that were a bit cooler than this, I thought were really cool. You know? And now they're just cars for the elderly.
I want a C30 or an S60 Polestar. They're the two Volvos I want.
You can't buy the C30 Polestar, can you? Not a proper one.
No, I think what you have to do is buy the C30, take it to Sweden for it to be upgraded.
Right. I got really excited because I drove into an industrial estate near Exeter. Well, I drove through the industrial estate rather than into it. Near Exeter. And I saw a company and it was called Polestar.
I'm not sure you've seen these cars driving into buildings. You did it yourself, okay.
And I saw this company called Polestar, and I got all excited until I realised it was to do with fishing.
That could have ended up so much more differently, and I'm glad it didn't go down that way. We would have been shut down so fast.
My excitement levels ceased rather dramatically. Suffice to say, I'm not a fan of the XC90R design, the car that is driven for people who is produced for people who have a disdain for every other road user.
If SUV Cup came back in Mr. Drive, I would drive that.
You can go off people, you know, Adam. You've got the F pace, for goodness sake. Why would you want that?
Because it's a Volvo.
But it's not an F pace.
So once again, I've got this catapult that is rigged up ready to go whenever you are, Matt.
Yeah, but the F-Pace is just a worse Range Rover.
But we haven't discussed the Range Rover. We have discussed the Volvo XC90 or an F-Pace.
We're totally off topic.
So basically saying, if you had to choose between a Volvo XC90 and an F-Pace, you'd buy a Range Rover. Excellent. That's solved that one then. Goodness sake, you're not coming on this show anymore.
You're not allowed anymore. You don't play by my rules.
It's troublesome. Anyway, we must talk the reason why we're being let loose. Ben isn't here to tell us off for being stupid. Ben is
it's funny. I should have laughed that hard, but I don't know why I did.
It's funny because it's true. The Ben is, as you may have heard in the during Midweek Motorsport last week, Ben is excuse me en route to Seattle for the Forza Racing Championship Invitational, which is presented in partnership with IMSA, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You know, it is really, really cool to have IMSA paying significant attention to esports racing. Is something obviously we as runners of the ASCC wink are very, very keen to see IMSA more involved in esports racing. We strongly expect that a number of very recognizable names will be on hand at in Seattle. A significant number, shall we say, are Tora alumni, so that's really cool to see as well. Yeah, which is marvellous. So I'm just having a quick look through the names, actually, and we know most of them. Head over to...
Is David Hoke on there, by the way? Or Hoke, sorry.
I know that was the one name that you could remember, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the one. I want to make sure I was name-dropping the proper name.
What's his game attack again?
I can't remember if he uses car or LMR harmonic.
Yes, he's going.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad I didn't screw that one up.
And they haven't. Interestingly, they haven't really. They've done that thing again where they just give the part of the gamer tag, not the team they're affiliated with, which I think's a bit iffy. Box is going. Chick Pizza, don't know him. Chris, also from Germany. JSR Commando, JSR Craviator. AMS Europa, F4H Force One. I'm adding them because it's important. Harmonic. I can't remember what he's proceeding with now because I think
I'm going to assume that it's car because that's the one he uses a lot lately.
Well, it's at car harmonic, but I'm pretty sure he's left car. So
no, I think car went a different way.
Intrigue.
Yeah.
Hydrogen. Hard BR. Okay. Liège, obviously everybody knows Liège. Lightning, obviously everyone knows Lightning. Interestingly, they've put Lightning and McQueen next to each other.
I'm guessing that's AMS McQueen.
I know. AMS McQueen. Mr. Jack, this is all the TX3 guys. THR Knee. F4H Racers. AMS Roadrunner, JSR Rossi, and F4H Venom. So great. Oh, one day all the AX4X guys will be there as well.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're going, yeah, you're not part of AX4X yet.
Who, me?
Yeah, we'll steal you.
You don't know me very well.
We'll steal you one day.
They already have, you just don't know it.
Well, then the fact you're not in one of my Astons, so, you know, you're just dust to me, really.
Did you not read my Porsche at Daytona?
No, I didn't.
You didn't. There was a giant AX4X logo all over that car.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so chew on that there, good sir.
Goodness gracious me, I've been told.
Yes, you have.
So anyway, yeah, so the preseason invitational live from Seattle this week, this very weekend. actually, so do stay tuned for that.
I hope Ben didn't pay for the in-flight Wi-Fi to where he has to listen in on this. I really hope he didn't. I could see him now just furious and
jumping out of his door, really, realistically. Yeah. Either that or the second he gets to Seattle, he's going to be in such a blind rage, he's just going to find the nearest computer and furiously message me on Facebook.
Is this where we all mute Ben's notifications?
Probably.
Well, we could do that on Facebook. It's whenever he finds out somehow your email address, and it's just like, huh?
Yeah. Anyway, so that's the Forza Invitational, the March update, and the associated car pack. So hopefully, we'll have some more interesting content coming in April. GT3 cars would have been nice this month rather than next, because otherwise BOP is going to be a problem for British GT now, but hey-ho. Ours is not the reason why. Let's move on to talk about LMP3, I think, just briefly. Since we've covered a lot of the other things, we'll come back to Sebring shortly, because I know Lewis is itching to tell us how it went. And actually, I've got a few questions as well from some fantastic photos I saw. but we'll talk about Project Cars 2 and the LMP3 Cup in particular, because Adam, I know we sort of worked jointly on it, but pretty much, let's face it, you led the way with this fantastic series in partnership with the real LMP3 Cup. What were your sort of thoughts about how the season went, and what were your impressions from what the top guys have been feeding back to us?
Yeah, I think, because a big thanks to the actual real LMP3 Cup for allowing us to run the series. And yeah, it ran smoothly. Obviously, Matt, you helped a lot with it. It ran smoothly throughout the whole season. Nothing really happened. The game had a few glitches here and there, but nothing that really spoiled the racing, I would say. A lot of the top guys, ADAs, DSRL, Webbers, they all said, yeah, it was a good series. They did love the series. It weren't too big that it made it complicated. It was just the right size, I would say.
Mm.
And the racing was just good all the way through.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, a big thank you to, as you say, to LMP3 Cup, not just for the support in terms of letting us use the branding and everything, but also the social media support as well. They've really got behind this, which has been fantastic to see. In conjunction with everything that the teams have been putting out, Team Momentum in particular have put out some fantastic stuff over the last few weeks. Regarding the series, 38 drivers took part overall, 11 teams and 10 privateers that was made up of, which is not bad actually for a Project Cars 2 series on tour, Adam.
No, it's not. Obviously, the game obviously came out with a few bugs and everyone was like, oh no. Mm. And obviously, the previous game didn't allow people room because they were all, I would say, skeptical of how this game was going to perform. But
yeah.
With how Forza is, and Forza's more the, I want to say, arcade compared to a sim, whereas Project Cars is a sim. Downright is just a pure sim, and it is difficult. One, like, on a controller, I know some people did drive on a controller, but on a wheel, it can be tricky. But the game held up for us, and I think it was a really good series.
Yeah, and I mean, the last rounds were pretty spectacular. There were three guys who realistically could have won. Qualifying didn't go well for most of them, really, actually. And we saw the first Ginetta wins in that at Silverstone, which was fantastic, as well as the first wet race, of course. But it was TMA, the ace from Team Momentum Esport, that took the title. DSRL Webbers snuck through at the last to take second place, away from EVR Burnout, who had a bit of a mare, I think it's safe to say, in the final races. Didn't perform amazing, or was unable to perform amazingly in the first race, and then fought back through in the second to pull back. VSR Touring who was mathematically in with a shout, sadly dropping back down to fourth place overall, and running at the top five was THR Flex for Team Highland Racing. So, Adam, that was the LMP3 Cup then. But we're not stopping there. You've got another project in the pipeline already. So what can you tell us about what's coming next at Tora for Project Cars 2?
Yeah, next is a spec series, mm-hmm. for which is the Renault RS01, which is a nice car. From the feedback I've had since opening it, is the car's decent. Car's really nice drive, and it'll be a load of fun. It's a 5-round calendar, and tracks we go to is Suga, Fuji, Dubai, Algarve, which them two we haven't used so far.
Ooh, before. Algarve sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. And you can actually use all 7 gears in this car. And the other round is Nürburgring Sprint, which is the DTM layout.
Ah.
That's a good choice, using Sugo. That's a circuit I, when Project Cars 2 announced that it was going to be in the game, I was very excited for, because again, I hadn't actually seen it in a game since the aforementioned EA Superbikes games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it is a fantastic track, and actually I can imagine the RS01. It's a very cool circuit. Algarve, absolutely brilliant, totally underrated circuit. Can't believe more things don't go to it. Yeah, sounds like a fantastic little calendar. So when does that open, Adam?
That's the science actually open now.
Mm-hmm.
So you can join whenever. First round is the date, it would be the 27th, I want to say, of March, round one, round Sugo. Could be mistaken. It's round that week.
So next Tuesday, in fact.
Yes. Yeah, next Tuesday.
There you go then. So if you want to get involved in this spec series, head over to forums.theonlineracingassociation. Scan down to the pit lane section for Project Cars. You will find Project Cars 2 Spec Cup. Head in there and you'll be able to join in in the fun for this series. Adam, it's safe to say it's been absolutely fantastic to see the enthusiasm which you've taken on Project Cars 2. I know obviously LMP3 were very, very happy with how things went. So congratulations again. For the effort, and really hope that the RS01 Cup goes very well for you as well.
Yes, thank you.
And let's not forget also, while we're on Project Cars 3, or 3, wow, I'm in the future. What comes
it's
on that? Stuff you don't know yet.
Spaceships.
Illuminati confirmed.
Yes, exactly. No, I was going to say, RSO Le Mans Series, which we did do a drop on about at Midweek Motorsport last week, it's still going strong, and we have just wrapped up with Dubai over there, and we're doing our makeup round at Donington this weekend as well. So we got 3 races back to back to back, and yeah, if you haven't already, pop on over to Facebook, type in RSL Le Mans Series presented by Tora, and go ahead, get on there, sign up. It does not matter if you're an Xbox, PC, or PlayStation. I'm looking at you PlayStation guys, because you guys keep saying nobody's signing up, but none of you want to go ahead and pull the trigger and try to initiate anything. So, shame on you. Anyways, come on over
there.
We're
not PlayStation shaming, but we are PlayStation shaming, really.
Yeah, we are PlayStation shaming, even though I'm all about all platform racing. So anyways, but go on over there, get signed up, see what we're all about. It's a very casual league. We're trying to keep it as simple as possible, just to basically a group of guys to get together and have fun racing in a Le Mans style form. We have LMP2, GT3, and GT4 right now for our formats, and we have 6 races left to go.
There you go. Now that was a breathless update from Mr. Lewis Satterley.
Yes, I got to take a sip of espresso so I can go ahead and get my sugar rush going, and I can talk really, really fast without a breath again.
He's going to have to calm himself down and put a wet poultice on his head for a few minutes, which is very unfortunate for him, because now we need to talk to him about Sebring, the real race. my first question, and this comes from an observation that I saw from some absolutely staggering photos that have been put up by Porsche and by BMW, of the sun coming through a very apparently smoky scene.
Mm-hmm.
What was this?
So, Across the circuit over to the east, just before you get into downtown Sebring, there's a bunch of orange groves over there, and there's also a little bit of wooded area over there, and I believe they were doing a controlled burn. It had been going all week, but the problem was is that it was just really severe on the mornings whenever there's no wind movement whatsoever and everything, so it just kind of lingered. You know, so whenever you wake up in the morning, you get nothing but smoke, and it just, I mean, it just clogged up your sinuses. Like, a few people I know ended up getting headaches from it and stuff like that. Oh, wow. But that's the reason for that. It was a controlled burn, which, I mean, was very badly planned, and it was incredibly close to the circuit as well, so it did not help matters at all. And what's really even more concerning is on that side of the road, also, there's a fertilizer plant. So if that would have gotten out of control, everybody would have evacuated. So, yeah.
Yeah, some American thinking at its finest. So let's talk about the actual race then. You actually called the winner correctly. I'm not going to say this is the first time you've been correct on air, because we know that's not true. Probably the first time you've been correct on a channel that wasn't this one.
Yes. See, don't doubt my racing intuition. I just have these gut feelings and I go with them. Actually, to be honest with you, I called the overall leader, and I was ready to call the GT leader, but Joan never asked me if my pick for GT, because I was going to say Porsche on that one, because, I mean, Porsche just, they can have, I mean, it's very un-Porsche-like, and I'm probably going to get slapped in the face for saying this. I'm even going to slap myself in the face for saying this. Porsche can have the most garbage car in the world. Exactly. Picture that one. And still be competitive at Sebring. I don't know what it is. But they're always there regardless of what team it is. I mean, it could be the most small privateer team ever that has no factory funding whatsoever. Porsche without factory funding. That's a joke. But it could be in there, and somehow it'll be up in the front of the race. I don't know how they do it.
Pure skill. And probably because Aston weren't there. But that's just my personal bias.
Well, in a sense, they were, because they didn't pay the manufacturer fee, so they didn't get to have permission. But they, basically, the Dalalana team from the WEC, so it was Lamy, Dalalana, and Lauda, I believe it was their third this weekend. They were all in a Ferrari.
Well, the same as Daytona, then.
Yeah, same as Daytona, which they, believe it or not, they got the pole in class again. But, I mean, once the race started, they just went straight to the back, and I don't think they were really fully recovered from it.
Very, very strange. It's very, very strange seeing those guys in a Ferrari. It just seems wrong somehow. We must, of course, also mention our good friends CJ Wilson Racing, who debuted their absolutely gorgeous Acura NSX in the pearlescent green / yellow livery.
That car was rather unique when it came at you, actually, because when it came at you, it was a very bright, almost yellow flag shade of yellow. And as it went by across on the sun, it'll turn into an olive green and then faded into a British racing green. It was really cool.
It did look absolutely stunning in all the photos. I'm so jealous of our good friend Declan Brennan, who obviously is very much involved with that team. Now, something that cropped up, Ben mentioned it, actually. I think he's actually asked us specifically to mention this. I assume this is what we're on about. The second caution of the race.
Yeah.
Please tell me this wasn't something you did.
No, this was not something I did, contrary to popular belief. But it did come out of my campsite.
Oh, goodness.
Excuses.
No, it really was, because I have two 20x20 tents that I bring for shade, and I connect those, so now I got a giant 20x40 space to go in there. So a couple other people who – this is bad. So his nickname is
well,
Mr.
Well, it ain't good.
Well, it's a good story for their nicknames alone. Yeah. So this particular individual, we have a nickname for him called Mr. Wheat, and his son, Mini Wheat – like the cereal.
Right.
And so they have this 10x10 gazebo, essentially. Well, they had two of them tied together, which a lot of people over here know as an easy up. So a dust devil comes through, which I don't know if anybody knows what that is. If you don't, here's a brief explanation. It's a small Category 1 tornado that can happen with no clouds, and it's 100% sunny outside. The only way that you know it's around is stuff starts spinning around in a circle really fast right in front of you. So one of those comes through, rips the whole tent up, flings it way up in the air. I think it went almost about 40 or 50 up in the air, and it hit the light pole that shines down onto the corner. Thankfully, it did that, but whenever it did that, it landed right on top of the circuit, bringing out the second caution.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So, I mean, my campsite had it all. So, I mean, take that turn 10. Not the Forza turn 10, but the real-life turn 10 over at turn 10 at Sebring. Beer Town has brought out a caution. How many have you guys done?
I'm not sure that's something to be proud of.
How many race teams dislike you right now?
I don't know. Strategy, damn you.
But now that they know where to direct the hatred, I guess I'm going to find out here pretty soon.
If you'd like to contact Lewis Sattley about your ruined race strategy, please contact us at @_Toro, and we shall pass on your bile-filled complaints forthwith.
Okay, blocking all notifications from Toro right now, so they deal with all the flack. Oh, okay.
So that was Sebring, another fantastic race, and just slightly jealous that you get to go to that and St. Pete as well, which is
St. Pete was my first time actually going to that event, so that was a good time. I couldn't say no to that one because that was a free venture. So I was a guest of Alfie Heat Treating, who sponsor AJ Foyt Racing, so I kind of couldn't say no, which if anybody knows, I was sponsored by Alfie Heat Treating for my 24-hour go-kart race, which is why I wasn't here last month.
Yeah, lucky so-and-so. Anyway, we're running quite short on time, so just enough time to quickly mention, if you were paying attention to social media channels at the start of the week, you will have seen that the official British GT Esports Championship is returning to the Online Racing Association for a fourth consecutive year. Very, very proud to be working with British GT on this. And just quickly mention that science will be opening incredibly soon. Now just the final BOP elements to be sorted. And then the racing will be happening in early April. Expect a full preview of the British GT Esports Championship to be coming to you in a couple of events. And expect some driving hijinks from the likes of myself and Lewis Sattley, as well as Ben Williams, once he has returned from Seattle and spending his time with Turn 10, which will be absolutely marvellous.
And our boss, Heidi.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's three members of Toro he's now met now.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness me, he's almost got a whole band.
Yeah, just about.
So that was another show. So the British GT Esports Championship will return next month. Stay tuned for more details on that. Of course, you can head over to forums.theonlineracingassociation for more details about all of the upcoming racing championships. There's an awful lot starting to come now. Apologies for not being able to cover almost half of what we would like to cover. We almost need a 2-hour show, but goodness me, that would take some editing as it is. And amendments for all the little bits and bobs that we chuck in here every so often. Particularly Lewis, he does like his test tracks.
Yes, I do.
Yes, he does. So, from Mr. Lewis Sattley, from Mr. Adam Watson, who hasn't actually been on the show for a very, very long time. It's been very cool to have Adam back for this one. And from myself, that's another month's worth of esport goodness done. And we will be back with you again in April. How is it April now?
I know. Don't remind me.
Back with you in April for more esport content and chat. Hopefully some more race cars we can discuss. And there will also, of course, be the British GT Esports Championship 2018 preview show coming up in not too distant future, so stay tuned for all of those. For more details on the Online Racing Association, do also head over to @TheReal_Tora to keep up to date with all the latest changes. I've been Matt Hunter. Lewis has been smoky this week, as well as on air. And Adam has been surprisingly organised. That's the show. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye for now.
This programme is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.